Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob Condotta joins us from the Seattle Times. He writes about the Seahawks, and boy, they are going to have a different look going into 2018. Bob, thanks for joining us tonight.
Sure. How you doing?
Bob, doing very well. At BKendotta on Twitter. Now, Richard Sherman had some very strong words for Pete Carroll after he got let go. What side are you coming out on, but have you heard a lot of the same from some of the other guys who have been either traded or let go or have been rumored to be traded and let go and so on and so forth on that defense?
Well, I think it's important to remember what Richard said. I mean, Richard said that Pete sort of likes the college philosophy of turning the team over. I don't know that that's a criticism of Pete. I think it's an assessment of what he thinks Pete prefers. And I think there's some validity to that. And I think that's sort of, I think that was Richard's attempt to sort of answer what they're doing right now. And I think we are sort of seeing that. Pete did obviously have a great run at USC, where that is what you do. You sort of rebuild the team every couple of years. And I think he is probably embracing the idea of having, they're sort of being forced to do that a little bit with the situations with some of the players that they have and all of that. So I understand why, I guess, that's viewed as a criticism of Pete, but I sort of just viewed it as Richard being honest about what he thinks Pete's philosophy is. And I think there's a lot of truth in it. I think Pete does, he does have messages he clearly believes in and wants players to buy into at the professional level. I don't think it's a new thing that when players have the same coach over and over and hear the same message year after year after year, the message maybe doesn't resonate as strongly in year one as it does in year five or six. I do think there's some validity to that, and I do think that's a little bit behind what they're doing right now. I think Pete, he probably has one last run here with the Seahawks, trying to kind of get them back to where they were, and I think he does kind of want to have some new voices in there to do it, and some new people kind of to talk to and sort of take his message with him.
Do you think that Richard Sherman, first off, negotiated a good contract, and second, will he be effective in San Francisco?
Well, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I mean, the whole thing is going to be the Achilles tendon and how he recovers from that. And that was the big unknown. And that's what led to the Seahawks decision on this, is he's going to be 30 years old. I mean, I think his birthday's a couple days from now. So he turns 30 here in the next week or so. And, they were looking at Richard being in the last year of his contract. They have really tried to avoid that with any of their key guys, having them play the final year of their contract with their future uncertain. I think that's something that, as an organization, they have sort of thought philosophically isn't the greatest idea in the world. But especially in Richard's case, with coming off the injury, I think they felt like they were going to need to wait to know if Richard was going to be healthy or not before they wanted to commit, 4 years, the kind of long-term contract Richard was going to want. So that was sort of what led to a lot of this, is just the uncertainty over what he's going to be like coming off that, an Achilles tendon for a corner. And, Richard obviously has some unique physical skills, and is he going to have those the same as he turns 30 and coming off a pretty significant injury? So that was sort of the issue. So it's really hard to know. He had been an Ironman here, started 99 straight games, had never missed a game, had barely missed a snap until suddenly he was out with that kind of an injury. So I certainly wouldn't put it past him that he's the kind of guy who can come back from that.
Bob Condotta joining us on the show, Seattle Times Seahawks writer. How much longer will Pete Carroll be a coach?
That's a great question. I mean, I think what happens here in the next year will really determine that. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He turns 67 in September. And so if in December or January, if they've gone 11-5, they've sort of turned the roster over a little bit, but they're excited about where things are headed, then I could see them, wanting to re-up him and he coaches for a while longer. If not, if at 69 years old, would he want to sort of commit to a complete rebuild with a bunch of younger guys? And, that Russell Wilson also only has 2 years left on his contract. And I think those two things are going to be in lockstep a little bit with where this organization goes and who is kind of leading it and how much money they commit to which people. So I think this is Pete's attempt right now, this offseason, to sort of remake the team as he wants it and have it go forward. And I think if it works and there's some positive signs this year, then the organization can say, yeah, we'll re-up you for 3 or 4 years into your 70s. If not, you know, then that's when it definitely becomes an issue of, you know, his age, and is he really going to want to do something like that at age 68 or 69?
So they got Russ, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, think Nick Vinette. Is this a double-digit win team in 2018 still?
Well, and it's March 18th. The problem with predictions right now, I mean, they've got like 51 players on their roster, so they're going to have like 39 more here.
Yeah, so, I'll ask you in August still, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. Sort of waiting to see what they're going to do. You know, are they really going to trade Earl? If they do they then get, you know, two or three more picks high in the draft, and what kind of impact does that make? What I would say is, with Russell Wilson, I think when you have a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the NFL, I think you can always put together a team that's good enough to be in the hunt. And the division is certainly kind of in flux. It's hard to know what Arizona is going to be like with the new coach and their quarterback situation. The 49ers obviously played great at the end of last year, but I'd still be hesitant to say they're going to suddenly win 11 or 12 games next year for sure. They still have some issues there. And then the Rams were really good this year, but, how do you handle that in year two and things like that? So I still think like the Seahawks can be a competitive team. I mean, the big thing in the NFL obviously is, if you win your division, you get a first round home game, and then you take it from there. And so I think they feel like they can, you know, with Russell, with what's still going to be a pretty good defense with guys like Bobby Wagner and, KJ Wright and some of the other guys that they have there. I mean, I think they still have the makings of a pretty good defense. So I think they can certainly be competitive.
Bob Candotta joining us on the show. You're not buying the whole 49ers thing yet, are you?
No, what? It's not that I'm not buying it, but they won their last five games against, the last game against the Rams. The Rams weren't trying hard. They had a great win against Jacksonville, but I do think it's a little bit different. When teams kind of know what you are and they're preparing their game plan for you specifically, they sort of know what you're running with the quarterback that you have and what your system is and things like that. I think that can be a little bit dicey. So I certainly think they can be good. You got the Rams, you've got, Arizona still has, I think, the makings of a pretty good roster there. I think the NFC West is going to be a pretty competitive division next year.
Well, Bob, you like their roster over there in Arizona. I know that they made some moves for quarterbacks again. Man, it's getting really old. They take one more stab at it with Wilkes before they really start to blow it up, because it can look like they're trying to put a Band-Aid on a hatchet wound over there.
In Arizona?
Yeah, yes.
I just like their defense. I mean, I think their defense is still good. I think they've, with Patrick Peterson and, Buda Baker, some of the guys, I think that secondary can be really good. I think their defensive line is still good. So I like that part of it. If you get David Johnson back healthy, the receivers can, I think they still have some things there that can work. But it's a big unknown. It's hard to know with Steven Wilkes and what way they go. I thought Bruce Arians was a really good coach, actually. And so, I'll be curious to see how that goes from Arians to Steven Wilkes, who obviously, anytime you're a first time head coach, there's that unknown there of how good of a coach you're going to be.
I know in Seattle, it seems that everybody loves Russell Wilson. I keep getting fought. If I say that Russell Wilson's great and he's an MVP caliber quarterback, which he is, I'll get screamed at on the phone by people. Why? Why is that?
That people don't think he is?
Yes.
I think it's because he just doesn't fit the definition of what people think a quarterback is supposed to be. I think people are used to what Tom Brady does and what Ben Roethlisberger does and, Peyton Manning and guys like that. And Russell is not that. He is a unique kind of quarterback, and he's got a different sort of skill set. I think that's always the issue with Russell and assessing him, is I think it's hard sometimes to, you just can't compare him and necessarily devise a scheme either. That's exactly the same as it would be for sort of your more traditional kind of quarterback. So I think that's the thing. And I think sometimes, there are times I think Russell can look really bad. He can look bad in stretches. And I think some of that is again, because of that. I think a lot of, you know, so a lot of his best plays are completely unscripted, extemporaneous things that nobody's calling from the sideline or anything. It's just he runs around and he makes some unbelievable play that you could never duplicate again in a million years if you tried. But, you know, that can be hard to necessarily do from, say, the first play of the game or whatever. A lot of times situations just sort of dictate that stuff. So I think some of it's that. But, you know, you look at he had 34 touchdown passes last year, but playing behind a struggling offensive line and with a receiving core that I don't think is anybody thought is the best in the NFL, and with not much of a running game helping him that way. So I still think Russell Wilson is definitely an elite quarterback. You know, he's won a Super Bowl and all that. So whether he's an MVP candidate or not, you know, a lot of that's just a function of the kind of numbers you're going to be able to put up in any year.
Bob Condotta joining us on the show. I know you're out west. What did you think of the Jets' move to move up to 3?
Kind of an aggressive move. I mean, interesting, obviously, the quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think they're going to get Sam Darnold. So he's a guy, obviously, you kind of saw a lot, watching a lot of Pac-10 football and stuff like that. Josh Rosen as well. An interesting move there, for sure, to see that. And, that's kind of it's interesting from the standpoint that that's completely anti the Seahawks way. Seahawks fans, I think, grow frustrated over the fact that the Seahawks almost always trade down. They're definitely one of the teams that's a believer, and you're better off, you know, your odds are going to be better drafting, say, 5 of the top 75 players in the draft than 2 of the top 75, just from an odds percentage standpoint, you know, that unless there's something specific you're really going after, which the Jets are, but in general, unless there's something specific you're really going after, you know, the difference between the talent level maybe isn't that great, and you're better off, you know, football being the kind of game it is where depth is such a big deal, you're better off getting more good players and with the percentages and stuff like that than really trying to aim for 1 or 2. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Bob, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Bob Condotta, joining us on the show, Seattle Times Seahawks writer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.